Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guests tonight are Jean Luen Yang, multiple award-winning graphic novelist and fifth National Ambassador for Young People's Literature. We've talked with him before about his Dragon Hoops, and they win FAM. She's illustrated more than 100 books for children, and we're talking about their new book that they produced together, Lunar New Year Love Story. Jean Nguyen, welcome to the show. Jean, welcome back to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you about this book.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Oh, I love this book. Now, I got to ask you, how did you divide? Is it, Nguyen, is it all your artwork, or did you also write part of the story?
I'm going to say it's all my artwork, and maybe I helped influence the story a little bit.
Okay.
But it's pretty much Jean's story.
Well, it's always helpful to have a woman's perspective when you're doing a romance story.
Yeah. I think that's probably the one thing that I influenced the most was what the female voice was going to sound like. But it's all Jean's writing. It's not mine.
Now, Jean, have you done romance stories before?
Nguyen is underselling it a little bit. There are whole scenes that she wrote.
I had a feeling. I could tell by the way she was talking about it. Yes. But Jean, had you done a romance story before?
I have not done a romance story before. It's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, rom-com, because that's one of the few kinds of stories that my wife and I can agree to watch together.
Yeah, I know.
It's been something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I've also been wanting to work with Nguyen for a very long time, so this ended up being a perfect collaboration.
Talk to me about collaborating like that, because when you have an artist writer and a writer working together, you don't live close to each other, do you?
No.
So all the communication had to be done online, right?
Yeah, or over the phone. We talked a lot over the phone, too. Yeah.
And we did a lot of texting back and forth. Most of the time for instant question answers, it would be texting, I think.
Well, talk to me about the origin. Who first came up with the idea?
Well, you know, the idea is really rooted in my relationship with my wife. So when we were dating, she really hated Valentine's Day, but I wanted to celebrate Valentine's Day with her because I liked her. You know, she hated Valentine's Day because she thought it was like this corporate scam to get you to buy candy and cards and that sort of thing.
Well, it sort of is, Jean.
It is sort of, yeah. It's not like she doesn't have a point. but because I wanted to celebrate with her, my workaround was every time February rolled around, I would take her out to Lunar New Year dinner, and I would buy her Lunar New Year presents, and I'd give her Lunar New Year cards. Because even though these two holidays are on two different calendars, they're almost right next to each other. It totally worked. She would come out with me every time. So we were like covertly celebrating Valentine's Day under the guise of
Lunar New Year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, talk to me about the development of the main character, Val Valentina. She's great. I really love Valentina. I sort of want to follow her through the rest of her life. She was so fascinating. As a child, she loves Valentine's Day. She loves making individual cards for people. And she has this little sort of imaginary friend in the shape of a classic Cupid. And then it falls badly apart. Then you have this, talk about the exact opposite of an imaginary friend. She's got this ghoulish Saint Valentine that hangs around. What a weird idea. But talk to me about the development of Val. She's an amazing character. Nguyen, why don't you talk about that first? Talk to me about developing it visually.
Yeah. Well, when Jean first approached the story with me, I think we talked back and forth about who the main character was going to be, and actually even what ethnicity she was going to be. And we ended up landing on Vietnamese because I'm Vietnamese. And the argument was, well, you know, there's no homework to be had there because we sort of lived the history. So Jean very graciously switched the character to a Vietnamese character to make things a lot easier for me, for sure. But there was a lot about who Val was that's on the paper was what Jean was envisioning, for sure. And then I think a lot of it got, just because I'm the artist behind it, a lot of it got influenced by partially who I am or the girls that I grew up with. The girl that Jean writes about, he has like a particular type that he hung out with in high school. And So that character was kind of was the girl that he knows very, very well, which I think everybody knows. She's the girl that always hangs out with the guy. She's cool. She's always got, like, you know, the wise mouth. She can hold her own anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And I only know one girl like that in my life. I'm sometimes that girl, but not always. And so it was a little bit of approaching Gene and saying, hey, I think a girl would be this kind of character should be more like this. And she sort of got softened up with it. A lot about her backstory with her father and her grandmother. It's all there on the paper, but something in there it resonated very much with me and how I grew up. And so a lot of who Val is comes a lot from maybe like some of my behaviors growing up. I know that Gene has told me that I would tell him a story about something that happened in my life, and he would work it in there.
So. Wow, wow.
The fact that she made, like, Valentine's cards, that was because I told him, yeah, when I was a little kid, I my parents wouldn't buy Valentine's cards, so I would make them for all of my friends because I wanted to get Valentine's cards back, and so somehow that ended up in the story. So there's a lot that's borrowed, definitely, from my life, but the essence of it is Jean's creation.
Well, I was going to ask you, Gene, what parts of the characters are mostly about you?
Well, I mean, Val is, we basically mined Wynn's life for all of the raw materials to build Val. Like it's not just the Valentine's Day cards. It's also the Cupid is actually from Wynn's life too. When she was little, she thought St. Valentine's was the Cupid.
Wow. Wow. Whoa. Was she in for a rude surprise?
yeah. And then, early on, we had to get into the teenage mindset because this was a young adult romance. So Wynn and I would get on the phone and we would tell each other stories about what dating and romance was like when we were in high school. So in high school, I had one really fat crush for freshman and sophomore year, and then I had a girlfriend for junior and senior year. And they're both relatively normal people. But then Wynn would tell me these stories about dates that she would go on when she was in high school. And some of these guys were like cartoon characters. They're so funny. So some of that definitely ended up in the book. Like the very first date that Valentina goes on in the book is based on an actual date that real life Wynn went on when she was in high school.
Oh, really? Well, you know,
yeah.
It's high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
If stuff like that doesn't happen, you haven't gone to high school. You know,
it's absolutely amazing.
There's all sorts of great sort of soap opera elements in this book too that I don't want to give away because I want to make sure that people buy the book and read it. But there's a couple of major surprises in this book and major scenes that are just amazing. Talk to me about the flow of the book and what you were looking for. Gene, you want to start? And then I'll have Wynn talk about it.
I think it did take a long time to crack it. You know, we started with this pretty vague idea of doing a story that sat in between these two different holidays, between Lunar New Year and Valentine's Day. And I was doing like outline after outline of what the entire story would look like. I think a couple of like breakthrough points, you know, where you're writing something and it suddenly feels like you're going in the right direction. One was making Lion Dance a major part of the story. That didn't come until several months in. And then the
That's amazing because that seems like such a big part of the story.
Yeah. I feel like it's such an obvious idea too. I don't know why it took so long for me to land on it. But the other one was Val's relationship with her family got more and more complex. Yeah. That also felt like a breakthrough moment. Like we were moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Let's talk about the line dance. First of all, Wynn, your artwork went over the top when you showed the lions dancing. It was like there was a set of fireworks on the book, on the pages of the book, whenever you showed the lion dancing. It was wild.
Thank you. That means a lot to me because you know, when you're drawing something, you don't know what it means, what it looks like to anybody else anymore.
Oh man,
lost track of it.
It was like psychedelic.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool to hear. Thank you so much.
Well, you obviously drew it differently. I mean, there's a different line and different, first of all, colors and stuff like that are completely like over the top when you're showing those scenes. That was, and it was obviously on purpose. So talk to me about how weird you wanted to make it, because you definitely made it weird.
I think what happened was when Gene sent the story over and the introduction of the lion dance was brought in, it was clear from the get-go that Gene wanted it to look very, very different. And it's not hard, given the source of lion dancing, to make it look different, because lion dancing is very, very, the act itself is very, very difficult. In essence, it's two people having to act like a single creature. And those costumes are wild costumes, like the treatment of them, the way the head sits on top of the people who are underneath it, like the construction of the costume itself. There's all this fringe that goes around the side. There's specific ornamentation that has to go on the lion's head itself. There has to be a mirror. There has to be horns. There have to be eyes. It has to be held in a certain way, because underneath there are levers that help you blink the eyes and open the mouth. And the tail has to be blessed by a priest, and you've got to have a certain number of fringes on your pit. Like, there's just so many visual sets of rules that have to be applied to the making of a lion dance image like that in itself is overwhelming enough that it requires, okay, this cannot be done in traditional black and white line art. Yeah. It's got to be done with something else. And then added to the top of that is that each of the lions are different colors, and each of the colors represent different things. And so the color is a really, really important part of the book. And the lion colors are significant in terms of what colors can be used at weddings, what colors represent love, what colors represent war. So in a way, the palette of the lions determined the palette of the rest of the book. So I knew which chapters had to be certain color palettes, simply because it was going to be very much a red lion for this, or a blue lion for that, or a black lion for that. And that's one thing. But I think the most challenging part of drawing lion dancing is that you have to draw the two people underneath first before you can put the lion on. So there's a lot of underlayer on there that nobody gets to see, that I have to see, because I have to know where the body goes. But I also have to understand, because this is lion dance, and lion dance is such a beautiful dance, and the idea is essentially that two people become one lion, and the drum that you hear is the beat of the lion's heart. And that in itself is a metaphor for the love story. And it wraps together very, very nicely. And I just remember going to speak with a lion dance teacher in San Francisco, Richard Yao, and he gave extensive lectures about what it was. And I knew after speaking to him how I had to draw it differently, how it had to pop out.
Yeah.
And I got on the phone and I called Gene right away afterwards and said, Gene, oh my God, you are a genius. This is the perfect metaphor for a love story. And Gene was like, when line dancing is just two teenagers sweating underneath a costume.
Oh, pop the balloon, Gene. It's like, it becomes such a big metaphor throughout the book for what's going on. Nah, it's just two sweating teenagers. That's all. But okay, let's talk about the school, because first of all, there was a school to learn how to do line dancing, and people who think, well, it's just two people throwing a costume around, it really, it has all these coordinated movements and all these, like, it's a really, that's one of the definite things I learned from this book. I'm not going to ever be doing it because it's too hard. How heavy is the costume?
How heavy is the costume?
Yeah.
Oh, the head is actually pretty heavy. The curtain, or the drape that goes on the back, isn't terrible, but the head itself is, it's made as lightweight as possible. It's all this like sort of chicken mesh wire on the inside, but it's and it's got sort of a wood frame on the inside. They let me try it on and wear it. I don't know how anybody dances with it, because you have to, not only are you looking at your feet and you're being aware of what your partner's doing behind you, but you have to open up the mouth. There's like options to wag the ears and to close the eyes. It's nuts. And then on top of it, you're throwing things sometimes out of the lion's mouth. You know, sometimes you're throwing oranges or you're throwing red envelopes, and it's all of this to be coordinated to the time of the music with someone attached to your hip. It's pretty nuts. It's pretty nuts. Jeez, I don't know. Did you
it sounds like a close that? Relationship to me.
The dancers definitely have to have a close relationship with each other, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. There's a great scene where Val passes a Valentine through the mouth to another lion. And I love the people in the audience. Did you see that? Something just happened.
Yeah.
Now
we were really lucky that we had a lot of help in that area. You know, Sifu Mimi Chan runs a Kung Fu studio out of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
She actually has a lion dance team that dances at Epcot Center. And she was like our lion dance consultant. And she looked over the whole book, made sure things were accurate. She was great. She was a huge resource for us.
It's also
send me images too when I would need them, anytime I needed them for the posing of the seat and where the character should be. She was amazing.
There's also the noises. Now, I'm always fascinated whenever there's a comic or a graphic treatment or something, the onomatopoeias, where you actually have to draw what the thing sounds like. So, Gene, talk to me about your onomatopoeias. I mean, how good it? I mean, that's like the pow and zap, you know?
You had to do that
for the lion dance and for other things, too.
That's right. When I was a kid reading superhero comics, that was like one of my favorite things was figuring out how they made those superpowers sound.
For this one,
Wynn and I actually went back and forth because especially as we got deeper into the research, you know, and Wynn went and visited the Lion Dance Studio and came out and was like, the drum beat is a heartbeat. We gotta figure out how to get that across. So we went through a few options before we landed on what ended up in the final book.
Yeah, there were some really funny ones that Gene came up with that I thought were hilarious, but they didn't work. They didn't work.
Oh.
It sounded like a hurt. Yeah. Which is too bad.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guests tonight are Gene Nguyen Liang, award-winning graphic novelist, the fifth national ambassador for young people's literature. We've talked with Gene before about the amazing book Dragon Hoops, and Nguyen Pham, multiple award-winning writer and illustrator. She's illustrated more than 100 books for children. And we're talking about at the same time, and we are talking about their new book. It is really a wonderful read, Lunar New Year Love Story. Now, what also makes this book is there's great, besides Val, who I think steals the show, but there's great secondary characters in this book too. And I want to talk to me about the creation of people like Bernice. Bernice was really, I think Bernice like needs her own book. Like, describe how you think about Bernice.
I have to say, when Bernice, I think the first iteration of Bernice that came out of my word processor was just a very flat character, and Nguyen really helped mold her into the Bernice that ended up in the final book.
Yeah, because she has to hold up against Val. I mean, the character has to be like somebody that can interact with Val because it's her best friend.
Yeah. I think the version that Gene first sent, Bernice could have been a boy, actually. She was interchangeable in that way. And that was, I think that was the one area that our editor is Connie Hsu on this book. And she and I would have these great conversations. It was kind of like Gene has Mark Siegel, who's his editor, and I have Connie Hsu, who's my editor. It's like a he said, she said kind of thing.
Oh, so wait a minute. Let me get this straight. So the two editors therefore have to deal with each other too?
A little bit.
No, that's like wild that the two editors are duking it out too. About what they, you know, did they have any conflicts? Did they ever get?
No,
didn't really have conflicts. We were all a big happy family, but we all brought different perspectives into the
project. Exactly, that's what it was. And Connie and I would sit and talk about Bernice constantly because we wanted to really flesh her out as a character. And I think what was important for us was that she has a lot of contact with the two love interests in the story.
Oh, yeah.
She's got these two boys in her life, but Bernice was the one female in her life that was her age, that was almost akin to her mother in that way because her mother isn't present, and so she's the mirror that Bernice is always looking for. So Connie, our editor, she was very careful in making sure that Bernice didn't come out flat, that she was a full fledged person. We had actually a lot of fun just kind of throwing things at Jean, like because I think originally Jean had her down as a shoe painter. She painted shoes.
Well, she does. She does paint shoes, which is that something that's done nowadays? Are the kids doing it now? I mean,
they are.
Yeah,
yep.
Man, I am getting old. It's a great idea though. I love the idea that shoes can be painted.
It was great that Jean had her established that she was going to be this kind of craftsy kind of girl.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, like, we loved the idea. What if she became a gamer too? What if she liked to bake? And what if she just had ADD? She just could not settle down on one thing and just always jumping around from her interests.
She sort of seemed that way.
Yes. I think that's more typical of teenage girls at that age, is that they sort of taste test a lot of things to see what it is that they like.
But
having that was fun because it sort of established who Bernice's character was, and it was great because, again, like, Jean's got everything that she needs to do on the paper, like his words with what she says doesn't change. But what's fun is that artistically, I get to go in there and just add all the stuff on top of an already fleshed out character. So she looks more fleshed out because of that, and that's just a lot of fun to realize. Yeah, this one doesn't have to change at all. But Bernice is going to be holding this instead of holding that, or she's going to be wearing this.
I love this.
Wearing that, and it just informed everything else of how she was going to be, what she was going to look like, the dyeing of her hair, that it was always going to change color. Yep. That was just part and parcel to who Bernice was once we realized, she doesn't do just shoe painting. She does all this other stuff too. But that was the essence of Bernice, is just how much she changed. And she was a good foil for Val throughout most of the book.
The grandmother.
Yeah, the grandmother.
This is like, oh my God. First of all, she comes to visit unannounced. She's just sort of bursts into the house. And she's like a tornado when she comes in. Whoa.
Yes, is that a tornado?
Is that from either of your personal experience? Because what an amazing force of nature she is.
Yeah, she began as she was inspired by these ladies that I knew growing up who went to the same church as me. You know, I grew up in a Chinese Catholic community, and there were these ladies who were really kind, you know, but also had a lot of opinions on what you're doing wrong in your life. So that was the beginning. And then when she went over to Wynn, and Wynn started working on her, I think she got very, very real. You know, she became very real.
Oh my God. Oh my! I'm just glad I'm old enough that all those relatives are dead. <It's> like, I know it's an awful thing to say, but man, did she bring back nightmares? There's a really funny scene. I'm not going to be giving away any of the plot points here, but the grandmother comes in and Val's there. The grandmother, you know, she's big into the traditions, you know, the Vietnamese traditions and stuff like that. So her grandmother's like going, you know, aren't you going to make me any food? And Val, she goes, do you have any noodles? Do you have any tea? Val makes her, like, opens a bottle of Snapple and then makes some ramen noodles. And it was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I think into every Asian family, there's always a grandmother like
that. There has to be. It's in every family. There's a grandmother like that. Yeah.
For sure. But she was definitely based on my mom. And it's funny because when I first read the script, I thought that Jean just borrowed my mother because she was so perfectly designed to be my mother. But I think it's a matter of, you know, you read something and of course you project onto it what it is that you picture. But definitely a lot of aspects of my mom. She looks like my mom. My mom actually thinks that the book is about her.
Oh, is she happy? is she happy about it?
I'm telling you, I have illustrated so many books. This is the first book she ever requested to get a copy in advance because she thought it was about herself. And she took it to church and showed it to all her friends. To this day, she has not read the book. She just goes around telling everybody the book is about her. And I just have not contradicted her and told her, yeah, she wrote about your life. You were so interesting.
Oh, my God. Now, probably the wildest plot point in this book, and I am going to talk about this, is that Val goes with her grandmother and her friends to Italy. And there's a reason for it. I mean, you make it seem like it makes sense within the story, and you have to read the story to understand why. But man, that would be for me. That would be a nightmare. But it ends up being great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's how we feel about our older relatives sometimes, right?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
But they're also great. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But whenever that came up in the book, I literally let out with a couple of expletives. Like, are you kidding me? Well, she was doing it as a reaction to things that were going on in her romantic life.
Right.
So
right.
It was like she
that's
needed
right.
to get out far in order to get a perspective right. on things. But still.
Yeah. In storytelling, we talk sometimes about like the land of the dead. Like your protagonist has to reach the land of the dead.
You're exactly
before
right.
They can come back. Right. So how bad does your life have to be for you to want to go with your grandma to Rome and her friends to Rome, right?
Oh, my God. We're almost completely out of time. But first of all, sketching out the story from beginning to end, did you storyboard a lot?
Ooh,
oh,
yeah,
as a matter of fact,
yeah.
I can't even get you to answer that question.
We're both visual thinkers.
We're completely out of time. I just noticed what the time was. We could talk about this book for a year. It's a great story, and visually, it's exciting. My guests tonight have been multiple award-winning graphic novelist Jean Luen Yang, fifth national ambassador for young people's literature. I'm going to have to ask you about that some other interview. We've talked with him before about Dragon Hoops, and then Win Pham. She's illustrated more than 100 books for children. She's also a multiple award-winning writer and illustrator. And we've been talking about their great new book. Trust me, pick this up. It's a great read. Lunar New Year Love Story. Both of you, Wynn and Jean, thank you so much. Thank you so much for putting this book out. I loved it. It was really fun.
Thank you, Mark.
Cool. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for writing this. It's been great
to talk with you.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.